You know, it seems like it's like a magician. Watch my hand over here. You'll never see what's going on over here is the way this it seems so often. We're overwhelmed, inundated with, you know, stories and news and things going on. Distractions all the time. Some of the news is big and relevant, and some of it's just a distraction that gets our attention. And then you look up from your little your distraction and you find that, you know, gun laws are being pushed again, you know, in pretty bold ways. Dr. John Lott here to join us to talk about this, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Doctor, welcome back to the program, of course.
Oh, great talking to you.
So let's see, where do we start today? I'm going to start with people who would be required to obtain a license before purchasing some firearms under the Handgun Purchaser Licensing Act introduced by Congressman Chris Van Hollen, a Democrat from Maryland, and a trio of Connecticut lawmakers. The legislation also seeks to expand background checks to all handgun sales. And here's the part that maybe it's a misprint in the article, or maybe it's just silliness, and block people under the age of 21 from purchasing those firearms. I think you have to be 21 to buy a handgun anyway, don't you?
Right. Well, you know, and as far as the background checks go, also, in order to go and buy a gun, you have to go through a background check in any case. Or, I mean, there's some states that if you already have a concealed carry license, then you don't have to go through another background check, but you still have to go through the background check to get the license.
So, right, here's the hook. Here's one of the hooks on this particular bit of legislation. States could refuse to implement the handgun regulations, but if they did, they would risk losing federal funding for doing so. So here it is. You know, you don't have to follow the federal rules, these new, you know, rules if we put them out there. But if you don't, we're just going to take your money away.
Right. Well, they just want to make it costly for people to be able to go and get guns for self-defense. And, you know, the problem is that it's basically going to be poorer individuals who are priced out of being able to own guns. And, you know, my research convinces me of anything. Those are also the very people who are in most need of having guns for self-defense. That it's the people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime are the ones who need guns to be able to defend themselves the most.
Hmm. Here's the Handgun Purchaser Licensing Act would zero in on handgun purchases specifically and exempt rifles and other types of firearms, it says. Now, it is backed, this then, who knows, this article, you know, from The Hill. It is backed by a study from the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Policy and Research that found handgun licenses dramatically reduce homicide rates.
Right. Well, I don't know if you saw this, but we have had a couple things up on that at our website at crimeresearch.org. It's really a ridiculous study. I mean, they look at one state, they cherry-pick the years that they're looking at with regard to it, and even how they do it. So, for example, they basically ignore the fact that firearm homicides, which is the one thing that they really look at there, were falling faster prior to this law going into effect in 1995 than they were afterwards. And, you know, one thing I try to explain to people is that, look, if you don't use all the data that's available, you really have to have a good explanation for it. And, of course, these guys don't explain why they only look at one state that has these laws. They don't explain why they picked the years that they did. I mean, you know, it's true that firearm homicides fell between 1995 and 2005. But what you have to do is you have to explain why it's falling slower there than it was beforehand, why they picked those years. I mean, if they looked at 2006, largely the drop would have disappeared. But you got to compare it to other places.
Yeah, cherry picking, you know, your stats doesn't really, you know, give a very good picture.
Nationally, we're having a big drop in violent crime of all types over that. And in the Northeast, you were having a big drop there also. And so the question is, you have to explain, you know, if you just make a comparison, there between Connecticut and these other states. You would, you know, it's hard to go and see why you should attribute the drop in Connecticut there to this law that's been passed.
So let me ask you about, so that's one story that it made it to the pile here. I had one more, which is that the ATF is going to be joining with the New York City Police Department in fighting New York City gun crimes specifically. Apparently, a collective decision made by the feds and the NYPD, the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, all these federal groups, those agencies mounting a first-ever anti-gun initiative in high-crime areas. And it doesn't sound like a first-ever to me, Doctor. It sounds like the same sort of thing we've heard before to give this, you know, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish here, whether it's for politics or what the real end goal is here, because it probably will have little impact on crime in New York City, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not even 100% sure exactly what the policies are that they're going to push. One thing is for sure, it's not the first time, as you correctly point out, that they've tried to go and focus on guns as a way to go and stop crime. And, you know, there are plenty of issues going on with how to go and use police and what have you to go and stop crime. But I don't think, you know, I'd be surprised if this has any beneficial impact.
Yeah, here's what the ATF agent, Charles Mullum, said. There is going to be, there is going to be an increase in federal arrests, no doubt. So what are they going to put, federal agents on the streets of New York City and arrest some people? Are these show arrests or show trials? I don't understand. I mean, does it have any real impact?
Right. Well, look, I think police are extremely important in reducing crime, whether they're local police or federal police that are going to be there and reducing crime generally. But, you know, why New York City should get this benefit compared to other cities that have higher crime rates,
like Chicago,
not exactly obvious to me.
Yeah, Chicago might be the place you'd want to go. One other thing that they're going to do here, which I don't disagree with, if the ATF is involved in an arrest, they're going to figure out where the gun came from and see if there's some sort of an illegal gun operation. Okay, that's fine. Don't disagree with that. If somebody's getting straw purchases, okay, but you make a great point. Why New York? Why not Chicago? Or in the last month, why not Baltimore for that matter?
Right.
So you make some
good
points.
No, I mean,
you
want to put police where the crime rates are highest. I mean, that's where they're going to produce the greatest benefits. And New York doesn't have anywhere near the highest, homicide rates or other violent crime rates in the country.
No, but it's easy to make a big show in New York and get a lot of TV cameras. There is that. Dr. John Lott is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeprevention.org, the place to crime research, crimeresearch.org, to find out more. Doctor, always a pleasure.
Great talking to you.
All right, there you have it. Dr. John Lott.